The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody. It is our third and final hour together here on this Wednesday, the 16th day of February. All kinds of races flying thick and fast. Let's dive into Texas' 32nd District Congressional race, where ever since Colin Allred won, it's been a bit of a Republican dream to get that one back. We'd like that to be part of reclaiming the House for the Republican Party here in November of 2022. And it's a busy primary. A number of Republicans running for the opportunity to be the person who's the designated opponent for Colin Allred in the general election. Busy primary, lots of folks running. We talked to Justin Webb yesterday. The Dallas Morning News had endorsed a gentleman named Brad Namdar. And then a number of things arise of, let's just say, the type you never want to have happen. And Brad Namdar is here to talk about those and give us his side. And then we'll certainly talk about some regular congressional type stuff. Brad, welcome to the show. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, sir. Thank you for having me on.
It is my absolute pleasure. Let's just dive in. There you are with that Dallas Morning News endorsement, so things are going well. And then that very same newspaper publishes a story detailing a couple of sexual encounters between you and a professional escort. She gives them video, says there were two meetings, didn't pay her for one. That got them all twisted off. And my understanding is your assertion remains that that's just false. Is that the case?
Sir, I mean, the allegations are not accurate or true, and this is a smear campaign that wasn't, you know, designed 2 days before early voting. And, you know, there are very powerful people, I think, that are very well and orchestrated this event. So to all these allegations, to everything, and it was a huge stunning surprise. And, I mean, there's nothing I can do besides making sure that I state the facts and state, you know, what's going on, what's not, and moving on from there.
So just to be clear, this woman is lying. The Dallas Morning News looks at video and apparently sufficiently thinks that it's you that they go with the story, and they are also mistaken. Is that your position?
Yes, sir. My position, yeah, it's that. And the tough part about all of this was that this was, again, reported on 2 days before early voting, and I've never seen, they never asked to be in this position to have to deal with this, but yeah, it's false. And the first article also cited DISD, and in DISD, I was never terminated. I had never any issues with that, and these documents are out there to be able to be produced.
Well, you've pivoted right to my next one. The Morning News also uncovered school records that showed you were accused of inappropriately touching a student when you were working at North Dallas High School in 2014. Is there any truth to that?
There's no truth to that, and I'm just going to say it's not a coincidence by any means, in my opinion, that this happened 2 days before as a smear campaign. I'm one of six candidates that's in this race. It's not a coincidence that the false DISD claim was on September of 2015 reported, but in November of 2015, I was assigned again another school in DISD. So, therefore, that's not possible. A CPS reporting claim would be very, very serious, and they would terminate you. So these facts are the facts, and I was never told of this. It never happened. So it's kind of shocking to see that, but at the end of the day, the facts are the facts, and I have the documentation to prove it.
Oh, okay. Hard to prove a negative. What kind of documentation proves that these things are not true?
Well, for example, my assignment letter, you know, in November of 2015. And if you have a pending or a CPS case, they're not going to assign you to a school. That's just not the way it works. And then in the article itself, it said they reached out to CPS and then to law enforcement, and they didn't acknowledge even that this report existed. So it makes me question and saying, okay, they, law enforcement doesn't have it. There's not a report. But at the same time, I was offered a new job in November, and this was supposed to have been reported in September. So it's kind of contradictory. And it's my reassignment letter that I'm more than happy, you know, to provide. But I want to make sure that we get back to the narrative of what's best for Texas 32 and move forward from there, because the story is not true. And the story is just being more in the flames of the fire. And I just want to make sure that we keep the right narrative, and I'm ready to do what I need to do to get things done.
All right. Then last thing on the escort story, why would this woman lie about you? Why, what's that agenda? Or do you know? And, you know, and if the morning news looks at video and says, yeah, that's him. I mean, she's just lying and they're just mistaken. Last time I'll ask.
Sure. You know, Dallas Morning News, you know, they've done this story, and this woman, you know, is out there saying this stuff. And I can't tell you that, oh, for example, she has video or this or that. All I can say is that it's not me. And at the end of the day, that's all I can do is defend myself on that integrity, just like I can with the ISD and just like I can with the documentations that are out
there. Gotcha. So the reason you're able to say definitively that that's not you in the video is because you have never secured services of this type. Would I be correct about that?
It's correct. And, okay. You know, I'm the only candidate who discusses human trafficking, and I'm the only candidate. It's not something that's fake, but at the end of the day, you know, it's a real issue that we have in Texas, and it's a dangerous area. But this is a very carefully orchestrated, in my opinion, plan by very powerful people. And I have to make sure that I protect my family, I protect my character, and I'll do that till the end.
And from where do the attacks come? What's your suspicion on who these people are who are, you know, leveling this harmful stuff?
You know, I'm not going to say, you know, there was an article that was there yesterday that was saying it was an opposing candidate, and I'm not going to go into the weeds of that stuff, but I just believe that, you know, there is a very carefully orchestrated plan, and I have a legal team that's looking into it.
Maybe that legal team is also on the, let's go one step out of this, and then we'll actually talk about stuff I'm talking about with everybody else. Your business was part of a state of Texas Secretary of State partnership against human trafficking, and they've kind of suspended you from that, your company from that, and they've sort of asked for a response for why they should unsuspend you. What will that response be?
Yeah, I'm working on the report right now, and I'll be sending that in, but to that note, I want to point out something. I received that letter at 12 p.m. yesterday. At 12:07, I was asked for comment, and then they published a story. I'm curious as to how it's not a coincidence. How could at 7 minutes later a comment be requested after I was sent a letter at 12? You know, there's no FOIA, no public information request done. So obviously, that letter was in the hands of journalists, and we're going to move forward from there, and I'm going to let my legal team do the rest.
So the last line of the letter from Secretary of State John Scott is, in light of the current allegations, we're suspending you. We respectfully request you provide a response by Friday of this week, 2 days from now, verifying that you're in compliance with the zero tolerance policy. If you wish to retain TBAT membership, will you get back in touch seeking to get unsuspended from that partnership?
Yes, we're going to provide documentation. Absolutely.
Okay. Let's take some time and talk about congressional things. You mentioned the field of six. Is there anything, any view you have, any position you have that you uniquely bring that you would say, hey, this is, I'm the only guy who will do A, B, or C if I'm the 32nd district congressman?
Yes, sir. So, I mean, as you said before, it's a crowded primary. But what's important, I believe, is that we have someone who understands our constituency from Balch Springs all the way to Collin County, Benton County. And I was born in Dallas, you know, raised in Collin County. And I believe that Collin already, with his voting record, with also our culture here in North Texas and our partisanship, we need new blood. And I'm someone who's going to listen to our constituency, as well as have some creative ideas on how to move forward. And we need younger members in Congress to also come up there and say, hey, this is the ballot of tomorrow today. And understand what it's like to start a business, understand what it's like to be a public school teacher, understand what it's like to have been a coach. And, you know, to not be from a political class or from a certain society, to be able to go to Congress. I mean, that's the most important thing. I mean, this is America. This is the United States of America, the best country on earth. And the minute we forget that, we're gone.
Give everybody just the 30-second bio on you, your private life, your you know, public life, stuff you've done. You got your degree from SMU. Give everybody else sort of the rest of the brief bullet point bio.
Sure. I'm married, and we have a dog. And I was, I grew up playing club soccer in North Texas and football just like everyone else. I was a field goal kicker and punter. I went to Texas Tech, got to play under Mike Leach, and then SMU. I was always involved in athletics. I interned for Congress with Sam Johnson when I was getting my master's diploma at SMU. And so I was always into sports. And then slowly when you start your own business, like I did in luxury home decor, you learn about international trade and commerce. You learn about things from UPC codes to the supply chain management. And these types of experiences helped mold me. And then I said, you know what, let's do this. Let's go and run for office and see what we can do to make our state and our country a better place. And I'm honored to be able to be running for it.
Let's say you're successful and you are the nominee, and it's you versus Colin Allred. What's the best strategy to beat him?
Best strategy, I would say, at the end with Colin Allred is to just be transparent. You know, he has 100% voting record with Nancy Pelosi. He has made votes. He's made statements, and you have to just let the voters decide at the end of the day, based on our ideas, not our opinions, based on what we want to do, not what we say we're going to do, and based upon how we're going to go after it. Under this constituency, when we look at it, it's diverse, and our strengths are diversity united together. I'm not going to be the candidate to divide. I'm not going to be the candidate who's going to say I'm 100% this or that. I'm the candidate who's going to be 100% for Texas 32, and that's the strategy to beat Colin Allred.
I wanted to be able to ask some sort of normal candidate questions after going through some of the necessary stuff that we began with. Just in general, the last few days have changed a lot. Do you still think that you're viable as a candidate in view of all this stuff that's out there?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I'll say this, again, I'm one of six, and I find it, it's not a coincidence by any stretch of the means that, I'm the only candidate who's been, attacked with a smear campaign to my character. It's been tough on a lot of things, but you have to keep your eyes on the prize and make sure we go forward, and that's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And the voters will ultimately decide. It's not up to me. It's not up to anyone else but the voters, and we're going to go forward with that. Absolutely.
Give me the website, please. I'll send people to that gladly.
Sure. It's www.brad, B-R-A-D, and it's Namdar, Namdar.com.
BradNamdar.com. Brad, I appreciate your time. Thank you very, very much. Best to you. And I really thank you for your time today.
It's an honor and privilege. Thank you, guys.
God bless. That's Brad Namdar, Texas 32. It is 9:21. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. All right, let's hop in, because clearly after we have an interview with such newsmaking clout like that, the first thing I want to do is engage in the little exercise we call, how did that work out for you? So let's start at the beginning, as the case may be. My brain is full. First of all, credit to Brad for coming on at all. Okay. If you've got a campaign going and the morning news has just endorsed you, it's six people running and not anybody who has a lot of name recognition. So that's a big thing. And then the morning news has to yank that endorsement because a prostitute comes forward and says, yeah, that guy came to me and twice and didn't pay me once. And then the morning news finds this 2014 record at North Dallas High, an accusation, mind you, not confirmed, but an accusation of an inappropriate touching. I mean, good God, that would be ruinous. And maybe you just slink away. Well, Brad ain't slinking away. Not hardly. He says every bit of it is a lie. Every bit of it is false. And that it's being leveled from some nefarious opposition. Ostensibly, if I was hearing him correctly, sort of targeting him because of the gravity that he brings to the sex trafficking issue and obviously every other issue. Maybe it's the morning news endorsement that put him at sort of the top of the heap and made him what you could arguably call the favorite, at least to be the top slot in what looks probably like a runoff. It was a favorable position to be in, and his version of events is that in that advantageous position, it was time to bring him down, and this is how somebody is doing it. okay, that it, I accept his denial at face value. I asked him, like, I think three total times in three different ways. So you're telling me this is 100% false. The people making these accusations are lying. And if the morning news looks at video and says, looks like him, that they are simply mistaken. Is that your position? And he said, yes, yes, and yes. Okay. Then you get to, do a lot of guys look alike? I guess. Is the timing interesting? Sure. You know, I mean, the Brett Kavanaugh theory, when do things arise, when they can hurt you the most? Do we know that this stuff is true? I don't. So you then, I guess as a voter, you start to think about the credibility of the denial. Do people lie sometimes? Sure they do. The notion of they're targeting me because of what I mean, I don't know. And that's why he made some reference to another candidate. I have on good authority that the Morning News consumption of this, was not something that they were fed by the opposition research of a fellow candidate. Just saying. That's what they say. So this is all what it's like. It's what everybody says now. It's never a picnic when something like this arises. And I asked him at the end, are you even remotely still viable? And he says, yep. So ultimately, that's going to be up to you. So your thoughts are welcome on that. We've had folks on. We've had tons of interviews, lots of things going on. So we got calls I got to get to on a variety of issues. I'll get right to you. Let's do news with Gordon Griffin and then come back and see what your thoughts were on that. If you're just getting in the car and went, oh, dang, I miss Brad Namdar. You never miss anything around here because Rhonda will dutifully put up the podcast. Just go to the 9 o'clock hour. Once all the podcasts are up, she'll put up 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 9 a.m. Click on 9 a.m. and you're off to the races with our chat with Brad Namdar. It was at the beginning of this hour and she should have that all up by like 10:45. So just always go to podcasts for shows gone by. All righty. Let's see what's going on in the news events gone by. And then on the phones with you, 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 932. Here's Gordon. Okay. Now what? What do you even do with this? I guess you talk about it. Because it's a big doggone deal in the 32nd Congressional District. 32nd Congressional District is Park Cities, some North Dallas, swing over, catch some Northeast Dallas, and then up toward like Saxe and Wiley. It's a big old district with a whole lot of people. And it was Pete Sessions for a really long time, and then Colin Allred beat him, and then Pete went off and was in private life, and now Pete's back in what used to be the Bill Flores seat. It's a big revolving door sometimes of personalities we have come to know. And Colin Allred wins in what I guess remains kind of a purple district. I guess I think Hillary beat Trump by like one percentage point in 2016. And it probably remains. Is it winnable for Republicans? Maybe a little less so after redistricting. But we'd like to think we got a chance. We might have a wave election going on in November. I mean, anybody, we may be able to wrap Biden around all kinds of people. And bring them down ducks in a gallery, politically speaking. And it'd be real sweet to get 32 back. So having the right candidate's really important. And there was Brad Namdar, got the Dallas Morning News endorsement. Good website, good stuff, good issues, presents well, good bio, nice campaign skill set. And then, boom, a woman says, I'm a hooker. Do we even say that anymore? I'm an escort, excuse me. And visited Brad twice, only paid me once, and whoops. And so anytime an allegation like that arises, and I've said this about, you know, rape allegations, things like that, that if there is an allegation of some type of sexual impropriety, something horrible has happened. You just don't know which thing. Either the accusation is true, meaning the person is guilty of that terrible thing, or it's not true, and it means that somebody is trying to ruin a guy's life. And it's horrible. So which one's true here? I don't know. And you don't either. So all we have to go on is Brad's denial and the kind of gravity and the believability that brings. Now, do people sometimes lie and make up stuff to ruin people? Absolutely. Did that happen to him? I don't know. The narrative seems to be that there are nefarious, powerful sectors that want to bring him down. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that possible? Sure. Here's the thing. Here's what somebody would have had to have done. Because there, every once in a while, like Christine Blasey Ford was, hey, Brett Kavanaugh did these things. And there was just no reliable evidence to support it. That was a he said, she said, and ain't no video from any party or any of that, which made it real easy to lob these sloppy accusations. They did not succeed, and I'm very glad they did not succeed. Was it because I knew Christine Blasey Ford was a liar? No. It's because they did not meet the level of credibility to deserve to bring a man down, to destroy a guy's career and life. So here's Brad under attack by a woman who says, I'm an escort. He visited me twice. Now, there's video. Morning News has seen the video. They say, looks like Brad does. We're pulling our endorsement. Now, that... What would somebody have to do? They'd have to go get somebody that really looks like Brad. Need to find some woman willing to come forward and lie about being an escort. And then offer that up to the newspaper convincingly enough that they go, yep, looks like Brad and a prostitute. Whew. Man, that's a heavy lift. But, I don't know. But I'm not sitting here telling you that I know nothing. I'm just, as what do I always do? I let the game come to me. All righty, 866-660-5759. I let the calls come to me. We are in Dallas. Jeff, welcome. Good Wednesday to you. How you doing, sir?
Hey, Mark. So good to talk with you. Thank you so much. Hey, I was actually at that event filming for the GOP, and I'm really glad that you mentioned Pete Sessions, because when Colin Allred ran against Pete Sessions, he used a lot of sneers and innuendos. In fact, he took a video clip that I did of an interview with Pete, and they intentionally twisted it. Mm-hmm. Colin avoided me ever since then. I mean, this one, the video made it up to the Hill, the paper out of D.C. As far as what's happening right now, when I went into the event, I looked at what was going on. I said, why in it for the CD32 GOP primary, why do we have a reporter here? Why, there was another reporter with a huge lens. It looked like we just put 1.5 long. There was a news reporter there. The whole thing just seems strange.
Let me make sure I grasp you. You find it curious that a reporter is at a political event? Can you tell me why that would be such a head-scratcher?
Well, I believe that she lives in Austin. I'm not positive about that, but I believe that she lives down there. They usually don't come to these GOP. I've videotaped a lot of them. You don't normally see a lot of news reporters there. And you certainly don't see a camera there.
Well, you do. Okay, dude. Yes, you do. So let's go to the merits of what we have going. Let's go to what we have sort of today, just sort of the right here, right now. What do you think's going on?
Right. So what I think is that if you look at her bio, you look at her Twitter, you look at her Facebook, she's very much of a trans activist. She says that she writes on gender issues. In fact, that's how she introduced herself to me. I had gotten up and spoken on behalf of Jeff Younger, and she wanted to get an interview with him.
Right.
And the same thing was going to take place, the entire smear campaign. I do not see, and I've looked at some of the so-called evidence. It's basically allegations.
Sit tight. You say you've looked at, when you say looked at, you mean you're aware of the evidence? I mean, I presume you haven't seen the video.
The video I have not seen. Okay, I don't even know if the video actually exists. I just don't know about that. They say that it does.
Yeah.
But there are other things that the story is very inconsistent and weak. And what I'm also wondering, too, if you don't mind me just divert a little bit here, going off, but prostitution is illegal in Texas.
Right.
So I'm just wondering why, if the Dallas Morning News knows of prostitution and Lauren McGaughey knows of prostitution, why they aren't reporting it?
Well, let's not bury the lead here. I mean, we may have an issue from back in May where some young lady may want to, face the music for what she did. But at the moment, the story seems to be, well, the story absolutely is, that we have a guy with these charges leveled against them. The notion of the video being fabricated by the newspaper is absurd. Let us stipulate that almost any major newspaper covering a Republican event is probably going to be more liberal than whoever's on the stage. But when we start to get to the notion of figuring that there's some nefarious thing to, you know, to destroy one out of six relatively nameless candidates in a race, it gets a little silly.
There is a poll that indicates, and there is a poll that indicates that in a one-on-one matchup that Namdar would be leading Allred. So that's one of the things.
But did they poll anybody else? I mean, I really don't know. Well, then that's what I'd kind of need to know. Maybe Biden is so against the rocks right now that any of these candidates or their dogs would do well against Allred. So I'd appreciate it. All right, we are in Richardson. Carrie, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Oh, I'm great, Mark. Hey, thanks for having me on.
My pleasure.
So I just wanted to comment also on the interview with Brad. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know Mr. Namdar, and I know him quite well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I could probably take up the rest of your show talking, you know, about why I think that these allegations are false. Mm-hmm. And I just, if to know Brad, you would know that these are not true. He is, as far as the candidacy goes, I mean, he is the most passionate candidate in this race. I mean, if you talk to a lot of these other candidates, they're like, oh, well, I just decided on, you know, in August to do this. Oh, I just decided, you know, one person didn't even, I mean, filed like an hour before the deadline. And he's been running for like 2 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is a very passionate candidate. I'm sure you're aware, or may not be aware. I mean, he's endorsed and being mentored by Pete Sessions. And I mean, to me, that says a lot right there.
It does.
And
I mean, he was appointed by Governor Abbott to some board or position or another. Both Abbott and Pete somewhat silent in the last couple of days, just saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, are they really going to come out? I mean, you know.
Well, you are. I mean, and that's kind of an unfair.
I'm not a politician.
you are correct. There's probably a cost to coming out on Team Brad right about now. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
You can't prove a negative. And as far as like this allegation, and yeah, Brad's on this task force with human trafficking.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You know, okay, you know, Brad's not seen this video. They won't show him the video. They say, you know, and like you said, I think you talked about this yesterday, they're trying to protect their source. Well, that is not the newspaper's responsibility to protect the source. And if Brad...
Well, it is under one circumstance, and this is something I've sort of said a little, you know, my own personal journalism crusade. If anybody comes to a newspaper and says, I have something I want to tell you on condition of anonymity, that is perfectly valid for the newspaper to accept that, because there's a million things we would never know but for anonymous sources. Ostensibly, it was to protect her from retribution. I don't view it as a newspaper's job to protect somebody from something that Brad's evil cohorts may do to her. That's not my favorite thing. So to summarize, and I think your support for Brad is great. I'm glad to have that. How long have you known him?
Probably close to 2 years.
Okay. It's not impossible. Every once in a while, let's stipulate people you know or you think you know do bad things. It's not impossible.
However, and I agree with that.
I know, but however, got to go. If I take anything away, is that you've known him. 2 years is not 2 minutes. You've known him, and he does not in any way strike you as the kind of person who would be guilty of what he's charged of. Correct?
Absolutely not.
Okay. I will totally take that at face value, and I'm glad to have you. And I was glad to have Brad. And if you're just tuning in and going, what the heck is going on? 9 a.m. podcast. Rhonda will have it up. 7 and 8 a.m. too. Within like 30, 45 minutes, she's quite prompt on things like that. I have a feeling this one will have some downloads. All righty. Appreciate it. What a show. What a day. What a season. Exit Ramp next. I came very close to rolling this out for Valentine's Day. I mean, please, James Ingram, little 100 Ways.
Find 100 ways.
Glad I waited, because today would have been James Ingram's 70th birthday. Passed away back in 19. It's actually a Quincy Jones record. Quincy Jones had this album called The Dude, and called James Ingram and said, hey, you want to sing some of these songs? Album came out in 1981. That's where you get Just Once, another great James Ingram piece of work. So we'll let James take us out, and we will bid you farewell. Thanks for hanging out with us. What a ride. Rhonda will have those podcasts up. You can enjoy those for your listening and dancing pleasure all day. Holy cow, news being made every day. We're just here to chronicle it for you. For producer Rhonda K. Moreland, for Michael Clark filling in for Mr. Matt in the Technical Guru Skills Department, and news ace Gordon Griffin, I'm Mark Davis. God bless our country, our troops, our families. Get out there, have a fantastic day. See you tomorrow for the Thursday show right here on 660 AM The Answer. I'm Mark Davis. Mike Gallagher is next. Be good.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.